conversation? The light has come into the room.
Sure.
This is Jess.
Hey, I'm Jess. Jess, nice to meet you.
Me too. I'm doing my best to try to stay consistent in our conversation. And then all of a sudden, Jess will jump in with a absolute. But, you know,
An almost absolute. Can I ask a question?
I can't be a full absolutist.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why do you hate God?
I don't hate the idea of God.
No.
Why
do you hate God?
I disagree.
The one that you know exists.
The thing is,
this isn't an intellectual conversation. This is not an intellectual, because we can defeat your intellectual objections. This is a spiritual issue, that you have something against your maker for some reason. And you could talk, you know, and all due respect, I mean, you could talk till the cows come home, and you can make excuses, and you could talk about being on the same level as an ant, but you know that's crap.
It's not crap.
You know that.
No, I don't.
Sure you do. Because you'd be standing on the grass if you thought you were at the same level as an ant. I mean, it's absurdity.
Okay.
See, and the thing is, if you want to have a philosophical conversation about the existence of God, then you can't reduce your worldview to such absolute nonsense. You see, when we come out to a place like this,
yeah,
we give the people the option, Jesus Christ or absurdity. But people choose absurdity because they love their sin. They think, you know, I don't want to be like that Benny Hinn freak on television. I don't want to be like him either.
Yeah.
Christians make, a lot of them, people who profess Christianity, make me want to throw up. I turn on the television and they make me sick. I see the guys with the God hates fag signs and they make me sick too.
Does God hate fags?
God hates some people and he loves other people.
Does he?
That's what the Bible says. If you read Psalm 5:5, God hates some people.
But the Bible says a lot of things.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want me to explain what the thing is. The thing is, now, does God hate homosexuals? Some of them he probably does. Some of them he doesn't. Do you know which ones he doesn't?
The ones who have accepted.
The ones who will. Because the thing is, some of them we hope will repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ.
And by repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ, you mean stop being homosexual?
No. Well, no, the thing is, if people repent, it will lead to a changed life. It will lead to a changed life.
Homosexual.
Well, homosexuality. The thing is, when people bring that up, they bring it up to try and inflame the conversation.
I
deserve hell just as much as any homosexual.
You do not.
Sure I do.
No, you deserve hell as much as you deserve heaven.
No, well, the thing is, if you're going to allow me to explain my worldview, I'll tell you my worldview.
Yeah.
In my worldview, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, myself and any homosexual.
Yeah.
See, because the thing is, I was preaching down in Indianapolis during the Super Bowl, and across the street from me were a bunch of guys with the signs, God hates fags. And a homosexual came up to me, he says, how come you don't have a sign like that? I said, because apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, he hates me too. Because I sin every day, you know?
But he made you sinful, so why would he hate
you? No, he didn't make me sinful, he made me perfect. But I choose to sin because of the fall of Adam.
Since you were born.
Because I'm under Adam, that's right. I'm under the curse. Here's the thing. Let's say Harper went over to England, right? And James Cameron, he's the prime minister there.
Yeah.
Let's say they're having a nice coffee. Harper goes and punches Cameron in the face. Cameron says, no more Canadians are allowed in England because of the insult of your prime minister. Cameron would be within his rights to do that. Because Harper is, whether we voted him for him or not, he's our federal head. Adam was your federal head and he was mine too. And his sin plunges us all, every one of us, into a state where we do not deserve anything. Where our very breathing is an insult to God. Our very breathing is an insult to the God that made us.
This is entirely untrue.
Well, the thing is, okay, so you believe in truth then? When you say something is untrue, you indicate to me that you believe in something called truth.
Sure.
What is truth?
Truth? That's a good question.
Because the thing is, what I'm going to expose...
Yeah, I have a response to that. I think truth is simply what is. Now...
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
What is isn't something that we can conceptualize or verbalize. Could we? Now, if I was speaking biblically, could we conceptualize entirely what God is? Absolutely not.
Well,
there's no way. Our brain could never verbalize or articulate what God is. We could talk about it.
Well, the thing is, you know what God is. And you expose it every time you open your mouth. Because when you say that truth is what it is, you know, that's what you call a correspondence theory of truth. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. Truth is that which is. I don't have a problem with that. But the problem is, when you say truth is that which is, according to who? Because you might say that's green and I might say that's blue. You know, I might be colorblind. According to
but
who?
To both of us, it's, you know.
No, the thing is, truth is not person relative. Truth is not person relative. Truth, if
sometimes
truth
is, it is.
No, if truth is what is, it doesn't matter what either of us think about it.
Truth
is what is, right?
Yeah.
Now, the problem is, without a perfect perceiver, you can't know what is. You can't know what is true. Unless you have a perfect perceiver who knows what is. Mm-hmm. Who is that? That perfect perceiver is God.
True.
And the thing is, God reveals things to all of us such that we know them. That's why we can have this conversation. Do you know why we can have this conversation?
Why?
Because we both know that God exists. Because truth is meaningless in a worldview without him. Because
let
me explain
this. My God and my concept of God and your concept of God are entirely
that's right.
different things.
And what I'll expose to you is that according, if you don't start with the Christian God, the only one that exists, you can't make sense of anything that you claim to be true.
That seems to be not true.
Okay, that's fine. So you say truth is what is.
Yeah.
How do you know what is?
Well, it seems to me that some of the people in my life, and I'm just using this as an example, not to inflare
conversation. That's fine, that's fair.
And you guys are very intelligent guys, and that's one of the reasons why I appreciate your guys' time.
Because
you guys are giving
me
your time and attention
right now. Another thing is, because you're going to walk away from us, and you're either going to be pushed towards the God that you know exists, or away from him. And if you walk away from here saying, you know, this was a pretty good conversation, pretty philosophical, you know, I might even, you know, think about that or whatever. If you die in your sin, this could be the worst day of your life. Because people are sent to hell according to the amount of truth they get and reject. And you're getting a lot of truth today. Those people there might be going to hell too. But you're getting truth that they didn't get. And you're going to be accountable for the amount of truth you get and reject. It's no mistake that you're standing here. God doesn't make mistakes. He's either calling you by name or he's hardening you. The same sun that melts wax hardens clay. And I don't know what my purpose is here today. I want to be here to be the one that God uses to start cracking that stony heart that you have, the one that hates him. I want to be used that way, but
those
I might...
Those are very strong words.
That's
though.
Right. It is strong words. But here's the thing. They're
strong words that are not necessarily true.
Well, the thing is, we're getting back to truth.
Yeah.
Somebody's walking toward the cliff.
Yeah.
And somebody says, nice day, you know, I really like your hat. You going to the festival? You know?
Yeah.
Another person says, stop! There's a cliff! Stop! Yeah. You know, you're going to say, that's not very nice. You're yelling at me, pal. I say, yeah, but there's a cliff.
But if you... What if that same person wants to go off the cliff?
Do you want to go off the cliff? Do you want to go to hell?
Well,
do you want that?
Hell,
right?
Right. What is hell?
Hell is separation from a relationship with God, with his eternal torment. Because you know the thing is, the pleasure that you get in this life, the pleasure that you get from breathing, from eating, from sex outside of marriage, from stealing someone's Xbox, the pleasure that you get in this life, do you know what that is? That's a gift from God. The pleasure that you get from sex outside of marriage is a gift from God. You say, wait a minute, God says that's a sin. How can that be a gift from him? You know what the problem is? It's a stolen gift. Who invented pleasure? God invented pleasure for us to enjoy it. He invented pleasure. He invented sex. But he says, this is the way you're going to do it to honor me. But the thing is, you're going to say, no, not that way. You're holding on to me, God. I can have it this way. I can have it this way. I can have it. So it's a stolen gift. And this is the way I explain it. I say, let's say that, you know, you're married.
No such thing as a stolen gift.
Well, I'll explain it to you. Let's say you're married, right? And your wife wants to buy you a really nice watch,
yeah.
but she can't afford it.
Yeah.
You both can't afford it. She takes a second job, right? Unbeknownst to you, saves up the money, there's a sale for this beautiful watch, and she buys it for you for Christmas. But the sale was in June. So she takes it, and she wraps it up, nice Christmas paper, hides it in her sock drawer, right? For this, you know, this present, and she's so excited to give you this watch. And you're walking by the drawer one day, you see it's a little bit crooked. So you pull the thing out, you dump it on the bed, and hey... There's that box. Look. Hey, that's that watch. Christmas wrap. You open it up. That's that watch.
Okay, that makes sense.
And you put it on. You say, hey, honey, thanks for the watch in July. What's she going to say? Man, you know what I did for you for that watch? And I saved you for Christmas? And you've stolen it. And the thing is, God has invented pleasure for you. And when you do it in a way that is not honoring to him, you've stolen it. And the problem is, in hell, there's not going to be any pleasure. Now, people think, oh, I'm going to party in hell. But you know who rules in hell? Not Satan. God rules in hell. See, people say that in hell we're going to be separated from God. No, you're not. God will be there pouring his wrath upon you. But you will not have the relationship. The separation from God will be you won't have an opportunity to have a relationship with him anymore.
It'll be a relationship. It'll be an abusive relationship.
That's right. You're right. But you won't have the opportunity.
So it's still a relationship, though.
That's right. The thing is, it'll be a relationship that you despise.
But what if a masochist goes to hell?
Well, the thing is, if you think... See, even... You know what? This is interesting. You know why masochists have pleasure. Do you know why they want pain inflicted on them? Because it gives them pleasure.
Yeah.
But you know what? That pleasure is a gift from God.
So if they're in hell,
they won't get the pleasure anymore. Pleasure is a gift from God. It'll just be pain where the worm does not die, where the fire is not quenched. It will be agony, and people choose that. And we're here. Look, I get it. I get it that there's freaks that do this. I get that. I'm embarrassed sometimes to stand up here because I know that people associate me with those freaks. But the thing is, I'm telling people a message. See, we are your best friend here today. When you stand before a righteous and holy God, and you can say, well, God, I just didn't know. I sent you two of my servants back on July 18th, standing here talking to you. And you just said, oh, interesting conversation, you know, but, you know, I'm the same as an ant. And
I don't see. I haven't been given much data to
Exposes that you know that God exists. Okay, because data, reasoning, logic, knowledge, truth, all of those things assume God. But the thing is, you have suppressed the truth and unrighteousness in Romans 1 so far, you know, that you might even have convinced yourself that you really don't believe, that you don't believe in that God. But God knows otherwise. When you stand before Him, it's not going to be, well, what do you know? There you are, what do you know? It's not going to be that.
Yeah.
See, because the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We'll do it out of adoration. If you died in your sin, you'll do it out of force. I don't want that for you, man. I don't want that for you. You know what I tell, when I'm up on the box here preaching to people, I say, if you're going to die in your sin, keep walking. Plug your ears. Don't listen to me. Because this is not good for you. Now, you know what they're going to think? Yeah, they're going to think back to that Benny Hinn on television, that Joel Osteen, those fake preachers. That's going to comfort them in their unbelief. If that's Christianity, I don't want it. But they're not going to listen to a message. Or they're going to spit out some nonsense because they love their sin. But the thing is, that is good for a season. But that season is going to end. You know, because the thing is, if people want to have pleasure, they can have pleasure. They can steal that gift from God as long as they want, but there's going to be an answer for that. And that's why we're here, telling people there's a way out. Because the thing is, Christianity is freedom. Because I'm free from a life of sin and death. Do I still sin? Of course I do. I hate my sin. But I still do it because it's fun. Sin is fun. I mean, I'm not tempted to jump in front of a bus because that's not fun. I'm tempted to look at the nice girl that walks by there because that's fun. I hope, you know, I pray that God will change me, and He is changing me.
Amen.
Slowly throughout my life, you know. And that's what sanctification is. The God who gives you a heart of flesh again, He also changes you so that you want the things that He wants.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So God has revealed these things to you.
To everybody. To you too, pal.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Sorry, what's your name again?
Jesse.
Jesse. Yeah. To you too again. To you too, man.
No, sorry, what's your name again?
Sai. Yeah, no problem.
So bad.
He's revealed it to you too.
Fair
enough. But you suppress that.
Now, since he's revealed these things to you.
Right. To everybody.
And he said, Sai, look.
This is what Before you go on, it's not an audible. I don't hear voices.
I know, but if it were to have been audible.
Yeah, but it's not. Know? Just so you know.
Absolutely. Say it were to be audible. Say God was right here.
I don't like impossible hypotheticals, but go on.
Okay. So you've opened up the Bible.
Right.
His word has been
and
revealed.
Some of it he's
you.
Put into you as well, because you know things about God without ever picking up a Bible.
True. So on the inside, you feel these things to be true, God revealing himself.
No, I know them for certain to be true. It's not a feeling.
Okay.
Feelings are accompanied with it.
Absolutely. So these things are true. They're coming organically from inside you. Then they're reaffirmed and added onto you by these words on the page. And you go, wow, I've been given an opportunity to live in alignment with all of this. And the stakes are inconceivably huge. Inconceivable. The pain of hell.
Right.
So why is it that you would, aside from fun, because I don't believe fun is enough, why is it that you would ever live in unalignment with the word and the truth of God? Why would you do that?
Because I'm a wicked, vile, fallen person.
But you have an opportunity to not.
That's right. Who's been given a new heart. I've been given a new heart. But I have not been changed. Until this side of heaven, I'm still going to sin. This side of heaven, I've not been perfected. This side of heaven, I'm still going to sin. But on the other side of heaven, I will be perfected.
Do you have an opportunity in this life to be free from sin.
Well, I'm free from sin now. I sin, but I'm free from the guilt, from the wrath of sin.
Okay.
Because Jesus Christ paid for that. But the thing is, I have to grieve at my sin, but I have to equally rejoice in my salvation. Because you know what? Nothing happens outside of God's plan, even my sin.
God, so then why would he send people to hell?
God plans my sin sinlessly, because I still do it freely. Now, are you familiar with the Bible at all?
Yes.
Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. Likely the worst sin in history. Betrayed the Son of God. Now, did God plan that he do that? Acts 2:23. It will go according to his plan and foreknowledge. God planned that Judas would betray Christ. Now, if God planned it, how is Judas responsible? It doesn't make any sense. How can, you know, but is Judas responsible? How do we know that? Matthew 26:24. It will go as it's been written, according to God's plan, it will go as it's been written, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man, it would be better if he had not been born. So he was responsible. Hang on a second, he was responsible, and God planned it. He was responsible. What does responsibility imply?
Responsible.
It implies free choice, right? So we got a dilemma now. God planned it, and he chose to do it freely. There's only one way to resolve that. Yeah. God planned that he would do it freely. Now you say, well, God can't do that. How does God raise the dead? How does God split the Red Sea? I don't know. But that's not a logical impossibility. Because the thing is here. Now I'll say that's what the Bible says. God plans our free choice. Now you're going to say that's illogical. And you know what you're going to do when you say that that's illogical? You're going to say, I believe in God. I say, what do you mean? I say, what is logic? Logic is universal. Applies to all people at all times everywhere. Logic is not made of matter. You can't go buy a pound of logic at the Max over there. Logic does not change. God is universal. God is not made of matter. God does not change. I have a world in which logic makes sense. I can tell you why contradictions are wrong. Contradictions amount to lying. To say that something is both A and not A at the same time in the same way, it's a lie. God says don't lie. Now you say, well, that's a problem. That's a contradiction. I say, well, okay, why are contradictions wrong in your worldview?
So,
and you won't have any answer.
It seems to me that if a cup is half full, it is at the same time half empty.
Now, perspective.
Perspective. Absolutely.
That's not to do with truth.
If I say one and you say the other,
right,
we're both right.
But the thing is that it's not, the law of non-contradiction means that the car cannot be both in the parking lot and not in the parking lot at the same time and in the same way. So, I mean, the law of non-contradiction does not have to do with perspective, because somebody standing in a train will look down and say, I'm standing still. Somebody standing outside the train will say, he's moving. They're both true, but they're not in contradiction, because they're not at the same time in the same way. But the problem is, without God, you can't make sense of objections, you can't make sense of logic, you can't make sense of truth, you can't make sense of knowledge. All of these things. The Bible says you know that God exists. It's a fool that says in his heart there is no God.
Now, to be clear, I believe in God.
Everybody does. So does Satan.
However, my God and your God, versions of our ideas, our concepts, are different. And
well,
now,
listen.
Now, another question is that I have not seen somebody part the Red Sea or some similar miracle.
You know what people who saw the miracles of Jesus Christ did? You know what people who saw the miracles of Jesus Christ did?
Their jaws dropped.
No, they killed him. People saw the risen Lord. He preached to thousands. He saw the risen Lord. And you know what? Some worshipped him. You know what the Bible says? Three powerful words. But some doubted. These are people who saw the risen Lord, who witnessed his miracles. They killed him, and then when they saw him come back to life, but some doubted. If you saw a miracle, you'd say, well, someday we're going to know why that happens. People who hate God are going to look for a reason to hate God. The thing is, if you saw a parting of the Red Sea, oh, that must have been some phenomenon. Someday we'll have an answer for that. See, people aren't convinced by evidences. And I'm not going to give you evidences. Because if I give you evidence, you know what I'm saying? You're the judge. I'm not going to give you evidence that God exists, because God is the judge. You give evidence to the judge and the jury. I'm going to expose the fact that you know that God exists. That you know that God exists. And like I say, I hope you go home, get a Bible, dust off your Bible, open it, read it. Read about the God you know exists and what he's done for people like you and me. And don't watch, you know, the stuff on television. Listen, it makes me want to throw up too.
I know.
You can turn that on and say, well, you know, that's what this guy believes. That's why I have a reason not to believe it. But you know what? You can get in an airplane tomorrow and it can be shot out of the sky. And you can be dead and you can be a meteor maker. And it could happen tonight. Not the airplane thing, but
absolutely.
You never know what's going to happen.
I could fall. I could choke on a pretzel.
Right.
I could definitely do that. But I guess my... final question. And I really, you know what, I appreciate you guys' time and attention, because that's really, what else do we have?
But it's not a philosophical, it's not a fun philosophical debate.
It's not.
This could be the most important conversation of your life, because when you walk away from here, you're going in either direction, towards God or away from it, and that's not up to me.
But right now, would you both agree that we're with God right now?
Of course. Everybody. Yes. Right.
Right now, here right now, right? This right now, this is what is, right?
But the difference is we're serving him and you're his enemy.
Which
that's the difference.
Not necessarily true.
It is absolutely true. You're his enemy. And if you die tonight, you're going to hell.
Okay, so I guess my final question is this. A baby gets raped tonight. God had foreknowledge and planned it that this baby, straight out of the womb, would get raped. Now, there were a lot of things that went into that. You know?
Of the two of us, I'm the only one that can say that's evil. Because I have an absolute standard of morality that says that's evil. God does not sin. God cannot sin. But God, according to his plan, there are sins that God has ordained, but he's ordained them sinlessly. Nothing happens outside of his plan. But the thing is, of the two of us, when I see a baby that's raped, I can say that was absolutely morally wrong. You know, all you can say...
Who's responsible?
Who's responsible? The rapist.
Not God?
No. God is not responsible for sin.
How is that even a thing?
Because God plans sin sinlessly. The sin that you do, you freely do, according to his plan. Now, you might say that's not logical. However, you're borrowing logic from the God you know exists. Because that's what the Bible says happens. But the thing is,
In the end, though, that happening, God is absolved from...
Not absolved. He had no responsibility at all, ever. Not absolved from it. He was never responsible.
But he according to his created plan, the circumstance,
that's right.
Created the guy, created everything in
that's
his
right.
life.
That's exactly right.
Created. He was
just like you.
Responsible. For
no, not responsible.
And there, God
ordained that it would happen.
Wrong,
I understand you have difficulty with that.
How about this? He was born into a family of rapists. Where they said,
hang on a second.
The first time he raped his family.
Let me ask you. I'm going to ask you two questions. First of all, why is raping babies wrong? Absolutely morally wrong in your worldview. Why in your worldview is raping babies absolutely morally wrong? Because if we're just evolved pond scum, what one bag of advanced primordial slime does to another bag, a smaller bag of advanced primordial slime, is totally irrelevant. Right? So of the two of us, I can only say it's wrong. So that's one question. My next question is, where do you get absolute laws of logic from which you say that contradictions are not right?
Can I address those questions?
Sure.
Okay. So, that primordial pond scum doing one thing to the other, this stands to reason, my reason, that is true. Now...
True, you can't make sense of without God.
Fair enough. But at the same time, on our human level, you know, it's sick. It's sick
of
to
course.
Do that.
You know why? Because you know God exists.
No.
Sure. That's why you know it's sick. Because if according, you know, because the thing, okay, on what basis?
This is the way I've been raised.
On what basis is it? So what? The rapist,
in a culture
the baby rapist. What if the baby rapist was raised that way? He says, you know, it's the way I was raised, and I kind of like raping babies.
Then to him, it's correct.
So it's
and
it's relative.
In the big picture, then. It doesn't matter.
So then you have no basis for being upset with it. Are you comfortable with saying that raping babies might be okay?
On a fundamental level, it's not. It's neither okay
you did
or
tell
not
me that
okay.
Earlier.
See, that's an issue.
On a human level,
but the
it's
thing
wrong.
Is,
on my level,
but the thing
it's
is,
wrong.
But the thing
on a,
is,
on a big picture
you know
level,
what,
it's not wrong.
You know what realm we're at now? We're at the cuckoo realm. We're at the cuckoo realm now, because you know that that's nonsense, but that's the kind of garbage you have to talk in order to maintain a worldview without God. Because here's the thing. If we're evolved pond scum, right, then our brain on a very basic level are evolved meat machines. Is that fair? Meat machines. And our thoughts are the byproduct of the chemical reaction in our brain.
Yes.
Right. So if I got a bottle of Coke and a bottle of Mountain Dew and I shook them,
yeah.
and I open them, they start to fizz.
Yeah.
Which of those fizz would be true? Neither. It's just fizz.
But both at the same time.
No. Not. Which would be true? Which would correspond to reality?
Both it's just are
fizz.
Fizzing.
Right. So
both are in existence.
So the thing is, you cannot differentiate one from being right and the other. So the thing is, you're fizzing, let's say atheistically. I'm fizzing theistically. So you have no concept of truth then. All you have is brain barf. So when you say, well, when you say what you know, what you said here, that's not true. You're borrowing from my worldview, because all you really got is.
But your worldview is really, you know, the Christian worldview, right? And you guys are dropping a lot of absolutes as well, right? Because the truth has been revealed to you.
To you too, because you use the word truth, and you can't make sense of it without God.
Fair enough. But at the same time, I cannot subscribe.
Of course, you love your sin. There's my website. You can check that out sometime. Okay. I hope you do, though, before you die, because you won't. The thing is, I don't know if this day will be brought back.
I'd prefer to go to hell.
You would. Well, have a nice day. Yes. It's sad, but if you prefer that, you're not going to like it. You have a different conception of that.
No, I know. I understand. But if this is truly the way it goes,
you can say that if you want. But thanks for stopping.
I'm not trying to insult you, John.
You're not insulting me. You're consistent with what the Bible says.
Right.
You hate God. Yeah, you prefer hell.
Sure.
Why would you prefer hell then?
I would prefer hell because this is absurd.
Say they love evil.
This is absurd.
Absurdity assumes that my worldview is true, because you can't make sense of absurdity because you're just barfing now. Your brain is barfing. So one fizz is saying, well, this fizz is absurd. That's crazy.
Were women created from a man's rib?
The thing is, of course you're going to think stuff. You know what? There's weirder stuff than that. A donkey talked. I mean, there's weirder. A snake talked. But the thing is, you don't have a... Listen,
sometime.
You don't have a problem with miracles. You have a problem with the God of miracles.
Mm.
Because the God who breathed this universe into existence can make a snake talk, can make a donkey talk, can make a woman out of a rib. A God who breathed this universe into existence can do that. Of course.
Yeah, but so we can if also you deny that God, a gun.
The thing is, if you deny that God, of course those things are absurd to you. I'm not going to try and prove those things. Yes, of course you think they're nuts. Because you hate God. Of course they're crazy to you. Of course.
Do you know that I hate God? Though?
Yes, I do. You prefer hell. That's a true indication of it. And you know how I know that? The Bible tells me. Until you're saved, you're an enemy of God. Now here's the thing. Now you say I don't hate God. Let's say I go into my house.
I don't hate the concept.
Let's say I go into, you know, let's say, you know, a person goes home to their parents' house. So you know what? I have parents. I don't think you guys are my parents. I have parents somewhere. You know, there's got to be something. I'm standing here. I don't think you guys are my parents. Now, that might say, you know, I don't hate you people. I know you're standing around this house. I don't hate you people. And it's kind of weird that you're in this house. I don't hate you guys. And what are your parents going to think? Hmm. You're standing in it. We raised you. We paid for that university. You're coming back from, and now you're saying that we don't exist? Yeah, well, you know, I'm just having fun. You know, party, got a piece of beer in the fridge. That's a hatred towards your parents. Now, the thing is, that is exponentially worse, a hatred to your heavenly father. Because you're walking around his earth and you're saying, yeah, I don't know. And you're saying, well, I don't really hate him. I don't really hate, I'm just, you know, I just don't believe. No, it doesn't really...
hate the concept of him.
No, I...
No, yeah. You do hate him. You hate him.
That's hating God.
Well, it just seems to me that a lot of the things are really just terrible.
Right, but terrible assumes my worldview. Because nothing is terrible in a world without God. Whatever
in
is.
In your worldview.
No, okay, well, what is terrible in your worldview? Explain to me what's terrible.
Terrible.
All you can say is, I don't like things. Who cares? It's person relative.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then nothing is terrible.
Opinions are like assholes.
You can't,
everybody's got one.
You can't say it's terrible. You can just say, I don't like it. You can't say it's terrible. Terrible assumes the standard outside of yourself.
If I don't like it,
you can say, I don't like it.
Terrible is just an adjective.
No, terrible is saying there's something, there's a standard by which I deem. Okay, let me ask this question.
Sorry, maybe I should clarify. It's terror-able.
You don't like things. So what? Who cares? Hitler didn't like Jews. He killed them. Now, here's the question. Is killing Jews worse than not killing them, or just different?
I guess it's different.
See? So you're on the same level as Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Nice worldview. But you don't live that way, because you know it's... I mean, you're going to have to walk away from here saying, you know, I just said that not murdering Jews, it's no better. It's just different than murdering... I mean, that's your worldview. I mean, it's absurd. And that's the very first thing you said
here. On a human level, it's terrible. You and I know this.
You know why we know this?
On a fundamental level.
Because we're created in the image of God.
Fair enough.
That's why we know it. That's why you know it.
That's why you know it.
In your perspective.
No.
I can see that.
Well, I think when you walk away from here, you're going to think, I just told these guys that, you know, murder... It's just different than
raping
not murdering
babies is universally,
you know,
okay.
I mean, and the thing is,
not,
and I'm going to walk away from
okay
here,
it is not
and I'm
going to
walk away from here, and I'm going to say that's exactly what the Bible says.
So when a meteorite crashes into a planet, and the planet explodes, and the life forms on those planet, that planet dies. Is that good or bad?
Are we talking Star Trek now?
I was thinking Superman.
Life exists out there. I don't believe bacteria.
That.
Absolutely.
I don't believe that.
How could it not? How could it not?
Well, the thing is, it's irrelevant. It's a smokescreen. It's a smokescreen. I mean, it's something that people throw up when their worldview has been exposed. Now they're going to start talking about other planets. I don't give a rip about other planets.
Okay.
How about this?
How about this?
I spent half an hour talking to you because I care about your soul.
Okay. Can I ask a different question?
Sure.
I step on an anthill and I destroy the entire anthill's livelihood.
Right.
Thousands of ants have succumbed because I
accidentally,
unintelligently,
yeah, it happens.
And step on it. Happens.
Ants don't have souls.
Don't they?
We're caring about your soul, Jess, where you spend eternity.
But why are we so special?
Because God created us to be special. That's right.
You know that's true.
Now, what image of God are we created?
I feel strongly that.
What image of God are we created in? God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Am I all powerful? No. So I'm not in that image.
So is God separate from the world that He created?
He's omnipresent. He's everywhere.
Okay. He's everywhere. Okay, so then, if He's omnipresent, say I'm God.
No, I'm not going to. That's a blasphemous hypothetical.
That's a blasphemous hypothetical. But since we're talking.
No. Well, okay. You cut off my analogy.
Oh, okay.
So we're not. I'm not omnipresent, so I'm not in that image. I'm not all-powerful, I'm not in that image. I'm not all-knowing, I'm not... What image am I created in God? I'm created in His moral image. Because you know why stealing is wrong? If I ask you why stealing is wrong, you say, well, it makes people mad, makes my boss mad, I stole his laptop, makes my neighbor mad, I stole a shovel. You know why stealing is wrong? Not because it makes anybody mad, because God is not a thief. We're created in His moral image. We don't steal because we're created to be like God, to represent Him on this. Why is adultery wrong? Not because it destroys marriages. I mean, that's a horrible consequence. Not because it destroys families. Why is adultery wrong? Because God is perfectly faithful. You're creating His image. When you commit adultery, you're calling God a liar. You're put on this earth to represent Him. So we're created in the moral image of God, all of us. And that's why you know right from wrong, because you're created in His moral image. And that's why when you say those ridiculous things and walk away from you, I mean, like I say, it's either one of two things. Either you're going to have to push that further down, or God is going to be softening your heart. I don't know what that is. I hope He does. Mm-hmm. I hope that you end up throwing yourself on your knees when you get back to wherever you live and begging God to change your mind about who He is. Because that's what repentance is. Repentance is a change of mind. It's the gift of God. It's not something you can reason to. You got to say, look, God, I messed up. I know You're there. Change me. Change my mind. Make me love Your word. Make me love the things that You love and hate the things that You hate. So I don't have to walk here, meet these two guys in the park and say nonsense about babies and ants.
Well, why would God hate and love things?
Because that's the way He's created it, for a reason which is perfectly sufficient for Him. You know what? You know who asked that question? Do you know the story of Job?
I'm not.
Job was a righteous man. Yeah. Satan says to God, "Do you know why this guy is serving you? Because he's got everything. He's got everything."
Oh, and he takes the things
and then,
away.
Satan says to God, "If you let me take everything away, he's going to stop serving you." And God says, okay, take everything away, but don't touch his body. And what does Satan do? Destroys everything. His entire family, except for his wife, destroys everything. Job still serves him. And then Satan goes to God and says, you know why he's still serving you? You didn't let me touch his body. You let me touch his body, game's over. He's not going to serve you anymore, right? God says, okay, you can touch his body, but don't kill him. Gives him sores, all this stuff, you know. And his friends are saying, you know, that's because you messed up, pal. You know, that's why God's doing this to you. And Job, he remains righteous. But all the time he's saying, God, why? 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 For the whole book of Job, he's asking God, why? Why? Trying to figure out why God's doing this to him. And God finally answered to him. Finally answered Job. And what did God say to Job? Where were you when I laid the foundations of this earth, Job? Where were you? Where were you? And the whole chapter, where were you when I did this, when I did this? You know what Job did? He put his hand over his mouth. He said, I spoke too soon. And the thing is, when we ask God, why, and God answers, what would we do? We'd say, oh, okay, it's not going to be a negotiation when you stand before God. It's not going to be, you're not going to be in an eternal courtroom. It's going to be your sentencing for why, instead of, I trust him. I watched my father rot away in a nursing home for 7 years, lose both his legs, adult diabetes, paralyzed on one side, rotting away, bed sores, died in agony. And I could say, I love God, because God works all things for the good of those who love Him. My father could say that too, because my father was a Christian as well. I went to the nurse to the funeral home that day to arrange for my father's burial. And I was telling him, I said to the woman, you know, I'm kind of glad my dad's gone. I love him. I visit him almost every day for 7 years in the nursing home. And she said, you know, my mother died in agony too. She had 8 brain tumors when she died. I was happy to see her go. And I said, ma'am, if my father had 20 brain tumors, if he wasn't a Christian, I'd want him to live forever in that agony instead of go to hell. I said, the only reason I'm happy he's gone because I know he's with his Lord. He knows with his Lord.
That seems terrible, though.
What seems terrible?
You know,
that he's with the Lord now? No more pain?
Yeah, but...
He's life, an eternal life, and all you are looking forward to is a life of you know, this is the best you're going to get it right now.
And it's not that bad.
That's right. That's right. Of course not. Because you are living on borrowed time. You're living on what God has given you. You're living on stolen gifts.
No.
But the thing is, that's going to end. That's going to end. And that, you can say no, but you know it's true. That's fine. You can say that. You know it's true. Because when you meet your maker, you know, those gifts are not going to be there anymore.
I meet my maker every moment. Every day.
You meet the maker that you've made up. See, all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. So you're an idolater. You've made up a God that you can worship, that you can serve. See, G.K. Chesterton said, when we cease to worship God, we don't worship nothing. We worship anything. And that's what you're doing in your life. You're just looking for other things to worship.
No, the present moment. How is this not a manifestation of God? For example,
everything is. But the thing
exactly,
is,
yeah,
we're giving Him, we're praising Him, and you're giving Him the finger. You're
how
saying,
am I, how am I giving God the finger when
by not
when
praising
God,
Him, for not thanking Him for giving you life, for giving you every breath in your lungs?
Okay, so when I'm accepting the present moment that's been given, when I'm saying yes to everything that is, the good and the bad, and saying, you know what, this is what is, this is right now, I'm not going to live in the future, I'm not going to live in the past, God has, this is what He's given me right now, this is what God has given me right now, so why not live in it, embrace it, breathe it in, and
you know what I say, if you're going to die in your sin, I encourage you, if you're going to die in your sin, you might as well have fun, because this is the best it's going to get for you, pal. You might as well have fun. If you're going to die in your sin, have fun. But know that you're going to be accountable for every single thing you do. And there are degrees of hell. And you've gotten a lot of truth today. You've gotten a lot of truth today. It will be worse for you. It'll be worse for you for the people that haven't gotten this truth. Now, why did God single you out today? That you stop and talk to these two preachers? You might have thought, well, you know, it's kind of interesting. Why did God single you out? I don't know. I hope it's so that, you know, tonight, tomorrow, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I met these guys in the park, you know. And you know, God, He pursues to the utmost. If He's after you, this is not the end. But the thing is, if He's pushing you away, then the next opportunity you have to sin. Why? For a reason which is perfectly sufficient for God. Because God is sovereign and God has a plan. And God is glorified.
So God will push me away, and
He'll either be glorified.
Fall off the cliff.
That's right. He'll either be glorified in your condemnation, or in your salvation. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But you're given a choice, and how you're going to exercise that, I don't know. I have no idea. But the thing is, I don't know how long you have.
Not long.
Friends of ours, we're doing this in Ottawa. A friend of mine. It's a video. If you look online, it's called "Last Call" on YouTube. Friend of mine, Robert Gray, he was preaching. And that people are kind of indifferent, and he gets kind of angry, you know. He says, man, we're your best friend here today. We're talking to you about eternal life. Anybody here want to repent today? One guy sticks up his hand. And the video goes on to say, that guy's life changed forever 3 weeks later. You know what happened? He died. The next scene is in the funeral of this guy. Now, was it a genuine conversion? I don't know. They don't know. Because the guy was drunk at the time. Did God save him? I don't know. But the thing is, that might be you. We might read on the news, you know, tomorrow, you know, some guy would drive by, you know, who knows? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why you've been singled out today. Hopefully God reveals that to
you. Guys.
No, but the thing is, if you die in your sin, this was not good.
No.
You will regret this.
Should have been a wall up.
Yeah. See, why do we send missionaries to those places? If these people really don't know that God exists, sending missionaries would be the worst thing we could do. Because we'd be removing their excuse. but they're without excuse for their sin against the God they know exists. Because if they didn't know that God exists, we should build walls around those communities to stop missionaries from getting in. But they know that God exists, just like you do. That's why we're out here. If you didn't know that God exists, this would be wicked. Standing up here and preaching to you would be wicked if you didn't know. Because we'd be removing your excuse. But you're without excuse. You're without excuse. And like I say, people choose.
If a kid is starving and he steals an apple.
Now, you know, here, you know, I'm going to make it even more interesting for you. Nazi Germany. I got Jews in my house. Nazis come to the door, knock on the door. Boom, 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 boom. Open the door. You hide Jews? No. I say it's absolutely wrong to lie. The question is, what would I do? You know what I'd do? I'd probably lie. Do you know why? Because I'm an irrational, inconsistent, wicked person. That's why.
Why would you lie if you knew that's
the thing? I don't know. I think that I probably would, because of a lack of faith. However, would it still be wrong? I think it would be, because let's say I said to these Nazi guards, "You know what? Yeah, I'm hiding Jews." And they say, "We're gonna kill you, and we're gonna kill all of them too." So yeah, you know what, pal? I fear God more than I fear you. And he says, "Tell me more about this God." I mean, and he tells his buddy, and those people are saved. Yeah. You know, do I expect that to happen?
No.
Would I probably be killed? Yes.
Yes.
So the thing is, I have earthly fears and I'm a sinner. I still sin. I'm a saint who sins. I've been saved. Does that mean that I'm going to make right decisions? No.
But you have the opportunity to do.
So right.
Why,
but the thing
why
is,
would you?
Because
when there's
I'm weak.
A monumental leverage.
Because I'm weak. But the thing is, here's the difference. The difference between Christians and not Christians. You know, God did not come to make bad people good. He didn't come to make me good. He came to make dead people alive. And I'm alive now. The thing is, sometimes I struggle. Sometimes I might look pretty dead, but I'm alive. And I can get on my knees at night and I can say, "Lord God, I know that you said not to lie. And I know that it was a weak moment, and I did it anyways. Forgive me. You sent your son to pay that sin." And now here's a problem, because a lot of people are racked with guilt in their lives. They have guilt in their lives. Do you know why? Because they're asking God for forgiveness for the wrong reasons. They're appealing to his mercy when they ask for forgiveness of sins. But I'm not doing that. I appeal to his justice. I say, "Wait a minute. God is all good. How can you appeal to his justice?" I say, "Well, look, there's a Starbucks over there." Let's say I walk into that Starbucks, don't have any money. I say, "Yeah, I'd like to have a coffee, but I don't have any money." Can't just give away coffee. We're in the business of selling coffee. We can't just give it away. Come on, you throw it away when it's stale. You write the time on the thing there, you know. You're not going to go broke. Just one coffee. Okay, here. I'm not supposed to do this here, but just so you don't bug me anymore. Next day you go to the same Starbucks, same guy behind the counter. "I'd like to have a coffee, but I don't have any money." "I gave you one yesterday, pal." "I can't just give away coffee." "Come on, you didn't go broke, just one more coffee." "Okay, here, but don't come back." Next day you go to the same Starbucks, you open the door, you out. Why? Because you're appealing to his mercy. But if a friend of yours goes in that Starbucks and says, "Here's a friend of mine coming here every day, there's $1,000, this is for him." You walk in the same Starbucks the next day, you open the door, you say, "I know you kicked me out of here yesterday, pal. And I don't have any money. I'm really thirsty. Would you like to, could you please give me a coffee? Would you like a croissant with that, sir?" What's the difference? The difference is now you're appealing to his justice because there's cash in the till. So the thing is, I come to my God every day with nothing. My pocket's empty. Wicked, vile sinner. But you know what? There's cash in the till. And the only cash in the till that could pay for the price for your sins and my sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. So I appeal to his justice. And he's saying, "Hey, wait a minute. The Bible also says God is merciful." You know what? The mercy and justice of God is only reconciled one place in Christianity, at the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'll explain that. Because let's say after I get out of that Starbucks, I get in my car, I start driving home, right? I get nailed for speeding. Cop says, "You're speeding." Now, he can give me justice or mercy, but he can't do both. If he gives me justice, mercy is not served. If he gives me mercy, justice is not served. He's had a bad day. He says, "You're speeding, pal. I don't care. Go complain to the judge. Here's your ticket. $250. I didn't have any money for coffee. I can't pay this ticket. I don't care. Tell it to the judge." Standing in front of the judge. The judge says, "You're guilty of speeding. Your fine is $250. I have no money." Then you're going to jail. Just then a friend of yours walks into the courtroom and says, "This is $250. This is for my friend Jesse. Paid in full. Fine, guilty, paid in full." You get the justice and the mercy of your friend. But here's the problem. You don't have an earthly friend who can pay that fine. Either do I. It sounds a lot like the Christian story, but it's not. Because we're standing in front of a righteous and holy judge, and what does he do? He takes off his robe, and he comes down in the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, this is for him. So on the book it says, fine, guilty, 100% guilty, paid in full. So am I going to go to my God, and I'm going to get his mercy and his justice perfectly reconciled at the cross of Jesus Christ? See, when I go to heaven, I don't... You know why Muslims don't have any assurance of salvation? Because they appeal to Allah's mercy. But I appeal to God's mercy and his justice because my fine was paid in full. Will I keep sinning? Yes. But my fine has been paid. So I have to grieve at my sin, but rejoice that my fine was paid. But when you stand before a righteous and holy God, all you're going to have is to face his justice. You're not going to have his mercy. But that's what we're offering here today. See, I mean, I know you've been here. I'll tell you this one last story. This is how I like to explain how it works. Very rough analogy, but this is basically what it's like. Sometimes you see homeless people on the side of the road, right? Asking for money. Pal, I'm not going to give you money. You're just going to drink it, snort it, stick it in your veins. I'm not going to give you any money. But tell you what I will do. I'm going to take you to that store over there. You buy whatever you want. I'm going to pay for it. And you get near the guy to help him up, and he stinks. Like vomit. B.O. Hasn't had a shower in a year. Say, I'm going to help this guy anyway, so you help him up. You bring him into the store. As soon as he walks in the store, the air conditioning picks up his stink and it goes through the whole store. And the woman behind the counter, oh man, that's that guy that's sitting out my store. What's he doing here? He's looking at the security camera, looking at the mirrors. The guy's going down, picks up a loaf of bread, picks up some milk, picks up some cookies, puts it on the counter. She steps back from the stench. She says, what are you doing in my store? And he says, I'm with Jesse. And you say, yeah, I'm paying for him. I'm Do you know who that person is who stinks when they stand before a righteous and holy God? It's me. It's me. But I can turn to my Lord and Savior and say, I'm with him. And Jesus Christ can say, yes, he's with me. I've paid for him. But you know what? You're right. It is also you. But when you stand before a righteous and holy God, all you have to offer is your stink. And you have to pay forever in eternity in hell. And if you choose that, I say, have a nice day. Enjoy your life because it's the best it's going to get. But what we're offering here is the one who paid the price for sinners like you and me. You say, well, I don't want that. I don't care. Am I still going to sin? Am I still going to go into that Starbucks with an empty pocket asking for coffee? Yes, every day. But I know there's cash in the till. Am I going to sin? I sin every day. But I know there's cash in the till. I throw myself on my knees and I say, Lord God, I thank you. You know, I say, be merciful to me, a sinner. I thank you for your justice. And that's what we offer. And I know there's freaks that do it, man. I'd run out of 95% of the churches out here. I know that, but it's no mistake that you're standing here today.
I want to believe it.
Well, you do believe it.
I don't.
You do.
I want to participate in it. It sounds...
Well, you know what you do then?
It sounds so beautiful.
If you want it bad enough, when you get home, get on your knees and ask God to change your mind. Read your Bible. But the thing is, that's going to be the indication if you want it or not. But you don't. If you want it, you'll do that.
As much as I want, like a Disney fairy tale. Not to insult.
It doesn't insult, because the thing is, I know your heart. I know your heart. The Bible tells me your heart. Sure I do. I know your heart. You hate God. You choose to make yourself above God. You know where that first happened?
How am I any different from God?
You're insulting your creator. You know where that first happened?
Why would my creator be
in the Garden of Eden? In the Garden of Eden, right? In the Garden of Eden, right? God said to Adam, if you can have this whole garden, you can have everything. Everything. Just don't eat of that one tree. That's it. Everything you can have, just don't eat of that one tree. Satan comes along and says, hath God really said that? You know, he's holding out on you. If you eat of that tree, you're going to be just like him. So what do Adam and Eve says, you know, God said this, Satan said this, I'm going to choose. You're doing the same thing today. You know, God says this, Satan says, you know, God's holding out on you. You know, you can have that pleasure outside of marriage. You can have that. You can have this. You can have this. You can have this. God's holding out on you. And you know what you're saying? Well, God said this, Satan says, I'm going to choose. You're committing the same sin that happened in the Garden of Eden. You're elevating yourself above God. And God will not hold him guiltless. God will not hold you guiltless for blaspheming him. You blaspheme him. You take his name in vain when you deny his word. Because blasphemy is not only taking the name of God in vain, it's taking his word in vain. And he says that you know that he exists. And when you say, no, I really don't, and I'm not really interested, you're calling him a liar. And that's not going to be good for you. That's why I urge you to repent.
Well, on the one hand, I am actually glad that you guys care enough about me to have spent your most precious resources, your time and attention, and shared those with me. That I'm thankful for.
Well, don't make me rejoice at your condemnation.
Right.
Don't make us rejoice at your condemnation. When you're cast into hell, don't make us rejoice. Repent today. Don't make us rejoice.
And live.
It's your only hope. Thanks for stopping.
Jesse.
Check out the website. My contact information is there.